Thank you, worship team, for leading us. And what a cry of our hearts, right? Nothing and no one, nothing comes even close to Jesus, Him and Him only. At this time, the children from kindergarten through sixth grade would be dismissed for Children's Church with Mrs. Stapleton. And so as they go, I would invite you to open a Bible or on a phone or tablet if you have it. To the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. So if you find the book of Psalms about halfway through your Bible, you'll move towards the back. You'll come to Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, and then Isaiah, and then the book of Jeremiah. For the next weeks, we will be looking at the book of Jeremiah, not every chapter, because that would probably take us the whole year, if not more, to get through all 50-plus verses. But we're going to be looking at various aspects of the book of Jeremiah and talking about restoration. We have been talking over the last 6 months or so in various ways about the vision that the Lord has given to us. Our mission is to be a place where we teach Christ. Teach people how to encounter the presence of Christ and then equip them and send them out to carry His presence to the world. But the vision that the Lord has given to us, what the overall thing would look like, that Dorseyville Alliance Church would be a place where in Christ's presence there is life, there is healing, and there is restoration. And we've talked as we've gone through accessing the presence of Christ, we've talked as we've gone through looking at life through the person of Jesus as we walk through various aspects of the Gospel of John. We looked at and talked through healing, that we can only reproduce. We teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. We teach what we know, but we reproduce who or what we are. And so we want to allow the presence of Christ. We want to allow his life. We want to allow his healing and now his restoration to be evident in us, to touch us first, so that we might be that to the world. And so we get to the part of our vision now on restoration. And as we prepare to do that, I would just look to the Lord, invite you to look to the Lord with me in prayer, and then we'll begin to look into God's Word together. Father, thank you. Father, you are all that we need. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we desire you more than anything else. Through your word this morning, would you bring us to a place where we would see more and more the ways in which we might look to other things other than you. Start us on that journey, Father, that we might have you more than anything else. Free us from those things that we hold on to so that we might have you only. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh among us and be the one who leads us into truth. For Jesus said that you would guide us into truth. You would teach us. So please come do that. We depend on you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we would begin to look into this topic of restoration, I want to take you on a quick tour. And through that, about an almost 4-minute video, I want to take you on a tour of the basement. And I'll let the video kind of show you that and give you a tour of the basement downstairs, and then we'll talk about Jeremiah after that. So watch this video.
Many of you are aware we suffered two flooding events, one in August and one in September of 2018. And while many of you are aware of the flooding, not everyone has had an opportunity to be able to go downstairs and to be able to see the damage and to currently see where things stand. So I want you to come with me for a quick tour of where things are at in the basement and how things look, so you have a good idea where we're at. So as we head downstairs, you will see one of the biggest and most obvious changes has been that the carpet has been removed, and in many places the floor is in need of leveling, which will be done soon. As a result of the carpet not being in, there is an echo throughout many of the rooms in the basement. It's the first room on the right. Notice the flooring. So you head back out into the hallway and into room on the left, children's Sunday school classroom. You'll notice the wall where a vapor shield wall has been taken down, and any mold and effervescence that was on the wall has been scraped off. Floor leveling is needed still in here as well. Original children's church room. Floor leveling is needed in here as well. As the carpet has been removed. Back down the hallway. Many spots that are uneven and will be leveled out. The stairs heading up to the offices and into the fellowship hall where the first flood in August happened as the water came through the two outside doors. In here as well, the carpet has been removed. Number of places where the floor will be leveled. And whenever there is things out of sort, piles of all the goodies are all around, wherever you can find a spot. And the last place, the youth room, where all of the flooring has been torn up and water pumps. Originally, water came through the venting in the floor. So that is there in case there is any more flooding that would take place. But you'll notice all the drywall has been taken out, and this is not the first time that this has happened. You notice the steel beams on the wall, steel studs where there is rust. It's been going on for some time. A corner where water has been coming in, still damp there. Another spot where water has come in. And all around the exterior, see on the corners and on many of these steel studs where there is rust on these studs. So, short update and tour to see where we are at and the needs for restoration in our basement.
So I apologize if you struggle with vertigo in any way, because that just exacerbated it, all that swirling around. But I wanted to share with you and show you, take you on a tour, because you know we've talked about it, and we talked about a high price tag somewhere. Probably it'll end up in the $80,000 to $85,000 range to fix everything that needs to be addressed so that doesn't happen again, and to put the carpet back down and do all those things. There's more work that's yet to be done, and at the end of February and into March will be the next big step as some drainage systems are put in. Then we can get the carpet and all that kind of stuff and be moving towards getting back down there. But I know I've talked to you about that, if you've been around, but not many have actually gone downstairs to see it. So I wanted you to see that firsthand. The need for restoration that is down in the basement. Now, I don't share that just as, oh, we're going to talk about restoration, so just a quick plug. Because clearly there are physical things that need to be addressed down there. Of water coming through the foundation of the church. It needs to be addressed. But I am convinced that as much as it is a physical thing that needs to be addressed, and certainly we have to and will do that, I am fully convinced from the Lord that it is a picture for us that the Lord wants us to see. And He wants to speak to us through that whole thing down there. That just as there are foundational issues in our building, that there are foundational things in the life of our church that need to be addressed, that need to be restored. That may not sound like a ooey-gooey, boy, I love to hear that kind of thing. And usually we want to come to church to get good things told to us, right? Sometimes we need to hear the truth. And sometimes the truth doesn't sound like we what we want to hear. But it's what we need to hear. This morning, I want to start on this journey through various aspects of the book of Jeremiah to be able to understand, Lord, what are you saying to us? And I would so encourage us individually to be praying, Lord, what needs to be restored in my life? And Lord, as a part of the larger Dorseyville Alliance Church family, what needs to be restored in the life of our church? Would you speak to my heart, for me personally, and for us as a whole? That we would walk through this time experiencing the restorative work of the presence of Christ in his body. This morning we want to start with Jeremiah, understanding who he was. And I want to ask you the question that is the title of this message. Sermon notes are in your bullets. And I want to ask you this question. Who are your Jeremiahs? Who are the Jeremiahs in your life? Who are the people, as we will see, who are able to speak the words and the truth of God? So this morning, as we would walk through the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, and then a few other verses, we want to start by encouraging us to identify our Jeremiahs. To be able to answer the question, who are your Jeremiahs? It's a simple statement, simple step, identify your Jeremiahs. Three statements of what a Jeremiah, what a person who would play the role of the prophet Jeremiah, what they characterize, what they're like. The first characteristic is Jeremiahs are those who speak God's words. Jeremiahs are those who speak God's words. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, "The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anathoth, in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. And through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Isaiah, king of Judah. When the people of Jerusalem went into exile." What you need to know, starting from the beginning, is that Jeremiah was a prophet of God who had a ministry and who worked on sharing the words of God with five different kings over the period of 40 years. 300 years before Jeremiah is speaking, there was civil war in the nation of Israel. And in that civil war, it was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, which remained Israel, and the southern kingdom, which turned into Judah, where the capital, Jerusalem, was. About 200 years later, the Assyrian army came from the north against the people of Israel, the northern kingdom, and made war against them after the Lord had spoken to the people of Israel, "Repent, repent, repent, turn back to me, turn back to me, turn back to me, or I will bring destruction upon you." They refused to repent. And the nation of Assyria came and destroyed Jerusalem. 100 years later now is Jeremiah in the city of Jerusalem prophesying to the people of Judah, the southern kingdom, what is now left of a gathered people of God. And he is speaking the messages of God, the words of God, to the people of God. The calling of Jeremiah begins in verse 4. "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. But, ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child," is Jeremiah's response. "But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth." From an early age, from even before Jeremiah was born, from the time that he was in the womb, his mother's womb, the Lord chose Jeremiah for one purpose: to speak the words of God to the people of Judah, to tell them what they needed to do to return back to him. And for 40 years, that is what he did. To five different kings and to many other people in leadership and power, he continued to say and declare the words of God, words that the Lord put into his mouth. Jeremiah spoke not of himself. He spoke the very words of God. Now, in the original Greek language, which is one of the two original languages that the scriptures are written in, Hebrew in the Old Testament, Greek in the New Testament, the Greek uses two different words to talk about the words of God. The first is logos, which refers to the written word of God, our scriptures. It is what you read every time you open it up when you come to church. It is what you read when you have devotions. It is the written logos, the written word of God. But there's another word that is used in the New Testament in the original language for the words of God, and that is the word rhema, which means the literal breath of God. It is the Holy Spirit of God, as we read and as we hear the word of God, it is the Holy Spirit of God breathing fresh upon it to make it personal and applicable to us or to a group of people. It is how you can read a passage of Scripture once, and the Lord impressed something upon you. And then you could read the same passage of Scripture even the next day, and the Lord will impress something different upon you. It's the same word. It doesn't change. There's nothing added to it. But the Spirit of God will breathe fresh upon it and will say, this is what it means for you today. This is what I want to use my written word for to communicate to you. It is the very breath of God by the Spirit of God to help us understand the written word of God. And so as we're talking about hearing the words of God, always it will come and it will be in accordance with the written word. But there are things that the Spirit of God wants to breathe fresh to us to help us to understand what needs restoration in my life. What needs restoration in your life? What needs restoration in the life of our church? Do you believe that the Spirit of God has a fresh message for us in these days? Do you? He's not going to add anything to the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Logos, but He will begin to pinpoint things if we say, what is the Word, what is the Rhema Word that you have for us? What is it that we need to have restored in our own lives individually and in our church as a whole? Jeremiah 23:29, the Lord says this, "Is not my Word like fire?" declares the Lord. And like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. Is not my word like fire? Does it not consume you? Is not my word like a hammer that breaks hard rock? This is the word of God, and He will break our hearts, the hard places. Friends, I don't know about you, but there are still areas, many areas, that the Lord continues to show me that His word is like a hammer that bashes areas that I thought were okay with Him, but I find out there's still some hardness in my heart that needs to have be made right, needs to be restored in my relationship with Him. And I don't believe there will ever come a day in our walk with Him until we meet Jesus face to face and we are made perfect before Him in all of who we are, that we will ever come to a place where the Word of God will not be like a fire consuming us and will not be like a hammer bashing us. It's always for good. We need the word of the Lord, the Rhema word from the Logos word, to be able to speak to us. We need Jeremiahs in our lives who the Lord will use to speak the words of God to us. So many of you might say, come back to that in a second. Many of you might say, well, all right, I read the Bible daily. And even as I read the Bible daily, I ask the Holy Spirit to help me to understand, why do I need a person, a Jeremiah, in my life to speak the words of God? I'm perfectly capable of reading the Logos Word of God and having the Holy Spirit speak to me. Friends, we need the Logos Word of God and the Holy Spirit to reveal the Logos Word of God to us, to breathe fresh upon us. But we also need people, Jeremiahs in our lives, who will also speak the words of God. And here's why. This is what is called the Johari window. Has anybody ever seen this illustration? Okay, got a couple. All right. The Johari window was developed by two psychologists by the name of Joseph Luft and Harrington Ingram in 1955. And their assertion was that all of us have blind spots in our lives. So there are areas where things are on this side, it's the things that are others, and this is the self continuum. You have the others continuum, and you have the self continuum on this side. In this top side, you have the open self, things that are known to others and are known to yourself, information that you and others know. There are things about your life that you know, and there are things about your life that other people know. There's agreed upon things. Everybody knows this about you, you and others. There are things in our lives, though, that are hidden, that are unknown to others. We know it. It's information about you that you know, but that others don't. Does everyone have this? Are there things about you that you know that you have never divulged to another person? There are things that you know that others don't. It is the hidden self. This is the self that we want to have more and more people and become walking in the light more and more, so that becomes less and less. There's less hidden and more known. But there is this area up here, the blind self. They're the things that are known to others but are unknown to you. It's information about you that you don't know but that others do know. You've experienced this before, haven't you? I hear like that uncomfortable little giggle. Yeah, those times when somebody says, "Do you know that you do that?" Has anybody ever come up to you and say, "Do you know that you do that?" Okay? If you've never had somebody say that, you need a Jeremiah in your life. Okay? That's an extra reason you need a Jeremiah in your life. And you're like, "No, I didn't know that." And you're like, "You sure I know that?" And you ask somebody else, "Hey, do I do that?" And they're like, "Yeah, you do that." And it seems that everybody else knows that you do that, but you're like, "I never knew I did that." You've been there, right? It's the blind spot. It's the spot that you could read Scripture 24 hours a day, and you read, "Don't be angry." And you're like, "Well, I'm good. I'm not angry." Meanwhile, everyone around you is like tiptoeing around you because they know that one little thing is going to set you off, and you're going to be going off in an angry tirade until somebody says, "Do you know that you're kind of angry?" "I'm not angry. I'm good with anger." And everyone else is like, "That's an angry person right there." This is where we need Jeremiah's. We all, myself included, myself especially, we all have blind spots. We all have things that we can read the Word of God all day long, and we don't have an inaccurate, not a full understanding of who we really are. We need other people to say, "Have you ever considered this?" We need Jeremiah's to speak the word of God to us. There's one other area, and that's the unknown self. It's information about you that neither you nor others know. There is only one way that you will ever understand the unknown self, and that is to sit in the presence of God, to say, "Search me and try me. See if there is any wicked way in me. See if there is anything, I don't care what it is. Help me to see what I don't and no one else knows but you know." I find that few of us will do that because we're scared to find out what's really there that no one knows but God does. That's where we need the Word of God and the Rhema Word of God and the Spirit of God just to say, "This is the truth about who you are." But He will use many people, if we will allow it, to expose the blind self, the blind spots in our lives. Because in our humanity, there are going to be areas of restoration that we need that we just don't see. So, who are your Jeremiahs? Jeremiahs are those who speak God's words. Second characteristic of a Jeremiah is those who speak what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Those who speak what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Verse 10 of chapter 1 says, "See, today I appoint you." God is continuing to speak to Jeremiah and giving him his call. "See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Does that sound like something that you want to hear? Here is Jeremiah being given this calling, this purpose from the Lord of saying, I'm going to put my words in your mouth, and my words are going to uproot and tear down. They're going to destroy. They're going to overthrow. Over time, though, they're going to build and they're going to plant. But you got to go through the uprooting and tearing down, the destroying and the overthrowing. Nobody wants to hear that. I don't want to hear that. It's not what I want to hear, but it's what I need to hear. In verses 11 through 16, the Lord begins to use some word pictures with Jeremiah. And throughout the book of Jeremiah, if you would read the entirety of the book, God uses many object lessons, many pictures to be able to share his word through Jeremiah to the people. And he uses two of them here with Jeremiah's. The word of the Lord came to me in verse 11. What do you see, Jeremiah? Jeremiah replies, I see the branch of an almond tree. And the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Now, for us reading an English Bible, we're like, what does an almond tree have to do with God watching to see that his word is fulfilled? The original language that God was speaking to Jeremiah in the Hebrew language, the word for watching and the word for almond branch or almond tree sound the same. They're different words, but they sound very much the same. So the Lord is giving him an object lesson, is giving him a picture of an almond tree and saying, see this almond tree that sounds like the word watching? I want you to know I'm watching to make sure that my word is fulfilled. We don't understand it that way, but the original hearers would have. The word of the Lord, verse 13, came to me again, and the Lord says, what do you see? Jeremiah says, I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north. And the Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdom, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me and burning incense to other gods and in worshiping what their hands have made. The second picture is of a boiling pot with the prophecy, the word of the Lord to say, disaster is coming. And very soon the kings of the north, specifically from the country of Babylon, came. And they oppressed and dealt out the justice of God upon the people of God in Judah, just as the word that was given to Jeremiah said. The end of chapter 1, verses 17 to 19 says, get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them, whatever I command you, do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. With such speaking negative news to deliver, God tells Jeremiah not to be afraid of those he was speaking to. For the Lord would protect and uphold him. See, clearly this is not a message that Jeremiah wanted to speak. Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet. Because of the message that he shared to the people of God, there was much sorrow, much sadness, much suffering. He was thrown in jail. He was thrown in holes. He was constantly on the run, constantly with threats against his life. People wanted him dead because he had a message that the people needed to hear, but they did not want to hear. See, Jeremiah spoke the word of God, what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. If you read through the book of Jeremiah, there are a number of places where the quote-unquote prophets of God come before the people and say, don't listen to Jeremiah. Everything's okay. God will never allow what Jeremiah is saying to come against his holy city. Don't listen to him. They would actually declare to the people, peace, peace. They told the people what they wanted to hear, not what they needed to hear. See, a Jeremiah will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. So who are the Jeremiahs in your life? Last characteristic of a Jeremiah. A Jeremiah is one who speaks because they have to, not because they want to. It's those who speak because they have to, not because they want to. If you are in Jeremiah 1, just turn a few pages back to Jeremiah chapter 20, and verses 7 through 9. Jeremiah 20, verses 7 through 9. Many times throughout the book of Jeremiah, you will read Jeremiah complaining to God. Oh God, why do I have to share this? Oh God, give me anything but this. Oh God, I'd rather die than have to share this message. He was a really honest guy. Verses 7 through 9, we see it. Oh Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. Imagine saying that to God. Oh God, you told me it was going to work out this way, but it hasn't worked out this way. In the moment, not in the big picture, but in the moment, Jeremiah feels like, God, you're not coming through. God, you're not fulfilling your promise to me that I would stand like an iron pillar, that I would not be moved. God, you deceived me. You overpowered me, he says, and prevailed. I'm ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. Does this sound like a guy who wants to share the message that he is sharing? Not at all. But he says, but if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. See, Jeremiah is clear. I don't want to say the things that you're telling me to say anymore. I've had it. This is not what I signed up for. Why did you choose me? I hate my life. This is the essence of what he's saying. He's saying, I would do anything to be quiet and not share this message with the people because it's gotten me nothing good. He says, I can't. Because this message is like a fire inside me. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. The only way that I will not be in agony is to do it. And so he speaks the word of the Lord, even though it does not bring him anything good except the favor of God. Friends, the Jeremiahs in your life will not speak because they want to. Let me warn you against people who think they're Jeremiah and can be a Jeremiah in your life, but really all they want to do is just look around at everybody and pick out and point every single thing that everybody does wrong. Have you run into those kinds of people? The self-proclaimed upholders of the truth, the self-proclaimed ones who just love to say, and I see this in Susan, I see this in Michelle, I see this in Warner, and they go along and they're like this and this and this and this, and they see everybody, and they're critical and they're judgmental, and they just tear people down. And they do it in the name of, I'm sharing the word of the Lord, I'm sharing truth with people. They need to hear this. Listen, if somebody is running to share something with you and is enjoying sharing it with you, and they're excited about, I get to tell them this, watch out, because that is not the spirit of Jeremiah. The spirit of Jeremiah comes in deep love and in deep mercy and in deep grace, and they understand how broken their lives are, but they come and they're like, I don't want to have to share this, but I love you so much that the Lord is just, I cannot stop. I have to share this. You can see the difference in the two. One is, I like this. The other is, I love you. I would rather not tell you this, but the burden of the Lord is upon me. I have to share it. And there's kindness, and there's love, and there's mercy, and there's grace. Jeremiah's speak because they have to, not because they want to. So who are your Jeremiahs? Steph and I are reading a book for a group with pastors in our area called Leadership Pain. Let me warn you, don't read that book unless you really want to reflect on pain. It's all about pain. And that pain is actually a good thing because it crafts us and molds us. The story is told of a pastor in there, I believe his name was Steve. And Steve and his wife were set to go to a pastor's conference, and Steve had it with ministry. He was done. Things weren't going necessarily bad, but he was just weary from all the things that he had to go through day in and day out. And after nearly 20 years of ministry, he was ready to go find another job. Just be done. He told his wife, he said, I'm done. I've had it. I've got to go find something different. Let's not even go to this conference, this retreat thing. His wife said, you know what? It's already paid for. The church has already said we can go. Let's just go. Let's give it one last shot. Maybe it'll be encouraging for us. So he went, and kind of begrudgingly at the insistence of his wife, and they went together, and there were some good things, some seminars, some worship. There were different things like that that were good. And at one break, a man came up to him that he had just met in the midst of that conference. Never didn't know the guy from before that, never had any interaction before. And the man came up to him and said, Steve, can we go someplace to talk for a minute? This doesn't happen to me ever, hardly, but I think I have a word for God, from God for you. And so Steve was polite and said, okay, sure, let's go talk. And as they went, Steve said, well, this will be interesting. Wonder what kind of nut job this guy is, and decided, well, just be polite and put my time in. And as he went, this man said, Steve, the Lord told me that you're ready to quit. And the Lord told me that you have to stop being sorry for yourself, feeling sorry for yourself. You have to stop having a pity party for yourself and step back into it and do the very thing that God has called you to do. Don't give up. And with that, the man said, that's all I've got. I'll see you later. And that was the end of the conversation. Now, Steve says, at first, he just figured, this guy's kind of crazy. But the word of the Lord was so strong to him in that moment that he re-engaged in ministry and got back to what God had called him to do. That man, as the author recounted it, that man did not want to do that in any way. That man hardly ever did that, deliver those words. But he was prompted deeply by the Spirit of God to deliver a word from God for this man. And it spoke directly to where he was at and changed a man's life. That is the heart of a Jeremiah. Not a, I can't wait to tell you this, but a, this hurts. But I know I have to tell you. Let me ask you, who are the Jeremiahs in your life? For me, my wife is a Jeremiah. My kids can be Jeremiahs. My kids have a great way of seeing things in my life that I don't see, especially if I ask them. If you have kids, even if they're adult kids, one of the great questions you can ask your kids is, how am I doing? A lot of times I find out things that I didn't really want to hear, but have been very good to hear. I have leaders of the church here that play the role of Jeremiah in my life. I have pastors in a small group that I meet with monthly that are Jeremiahs in my life that will tell me the things that I don't really want to hear, but I need to hear. I have a district superintendent above me who is a Jeremiah for me, who will speak the things I need to hear. And I have a dear, trusted friend several of them, Lionel, Dan, others, who are great friends to me and will tell me the things that I need to hear, but not always what I want to hear. They speak the word of God to me. Friends, who are the Jeremiahs in your life? Coming to a conclusion this morning, it's up to you, really. From those Jeremiahs, what will you do? What is your response? You could come away from this saying, I don't need any Jeremiahs in my life. I'm good. That could be a response. You could say, these are the Jeremiahs in my life, and they'll speak the words of God into my life. But the question is, will you listen to the words of the Jeremiahs in your life? There is an entire nation, entire group of people, the people of Judah, who heard over and over and over and over for 40 years the words of God through the prophet Jeremiah. And yet, as a whole, they refused to listen and heed his words. There were a few who did listen, but as a whole, they did not. And the result was that a third of the people of Judah died by the sword as the Babylonians came in and destroyed Jerusalem. There were a third who died of famine and plague as the Babylonians held siege around the city of Jerusalem. And the remaining third that lived were carried off into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. Friends, even the ones who heeded the word of the Lord still paid some consequence for the actions of the whole. We like to think in the West that it's just me and me and me. But we need to understand when we're part of a church family, when we're part of a family, when we're part of a nation, when we're part of a race, the human race, it's not just me and me and me. It's all of us. And so all of us together, I can make the decision for myself. I will listen to the words of the Lord. But we all have to together listen to the words of the Lord for his restoration to come to us as a whole. We need to listen together, as well as individually, to the words of God. So who are your Jeremiahs? No one can do this but you, determining your response. Let me ask you just in these last closing moments to ponder these couple questions. First question is this: who are your Jeremiahs? Who are the people in your life that have the right to tell you the areas that need to be restored? Do you have anybody in your life who you have given the right to, who you've gone to them, you see them as a man or a woman who is committed deeply to the Lord, who they know the word of the Lord, who they walk with the Spirit of God, who they are deeply going after intimacy with Christ in greater and greater ways, and you have said, I give you permission to do whatever you need to do, to speak whatever you need to speak in my life, even if it's not what I want to hear, but it's what I need to hear. Even if you don't want to, but I need it, I need to hear it. Who are the Jeremiahs in your life? Who have you given permission to speak the words of God? Second question, what will be your response? Are you willing to hear what you need but don't want to hear? That question needs to be settled before any other question. Once you know who those Jeremiahs are. Because if you make the decision, even if I don't want to hear it, even if it hurts really bad, even if it makes me angry, even if it makes me want to punch that person, you know, be honest. It's okay to be honest in church. Even if it makes you want to just punch them, but you know they're right. You know they're speaking the word of God to you. You need to settle the question ahead of time. My response will be, no matter what they say, as long as it is the word of God, and I know I may have to sort through all the anger and all the layers of pride and all that stuff that hurts my ego and all that kind of stuff, but I'm going to come to the place where I'm going to say, okay, I'll listen. I'll respond. So if you don't have any intention of wanting to hear and respond, you might as well not even have some Jeremiahs. And lastly, and this is a question I want us to be praying about throughout this series, what is the Holy Spirit beginning to reveal that needs to be restored? What is He beginning to reveal in your life personally? And what is He beginning to reveal to us as a church family? I believe that the Lord has some things that He wants to tell us in these next weeks that aren't things that we really want to hear, but they're things that we need to hear. For myself and for all of us. I want to just take a few moments just to give you space to spend a few moments in prayer with the Lord. And then I'll pray for us, but take these moments of quiet. Allow the Lord to speak. Wrestle through some of these things with Him as we come to Him. Father, I thank You for Your word that You have given to us. I thank You for Holy Spirit who You have sent to lead us into truth, to directly apply the words of Scripture to us. And I thank You for giving us others in our lives who can stand in the role of Jeremiah and can speak into the areas of our lives individually and as a church family of things that need to be restored, of things that we need to hear but we may not want to hear. Father, I pray that You would give us ears to hear, as Jesus would say to many of the churches in Revelation, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit would say to the church." So Holy Spirit, over these next weeks, would You give us ears to hear from You, from Your word, and through the ministry of the body one to another of what we need to hear. For Lord Jesus, we want areas that need to be restored in our lives personally and as a church family for that to take place. So please, please do that work. We need it, and we know that You love to do it. For the good of our lives, for the good of Your church, Your body, and for the great honor and glory of your name. May these things come. In the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I invite the worship team to come and to lead us this morning in a closing song.